This order of service says I'll be preaching just from this first verse. I found that as I labored to explain it and to apply it, that I didn't get beyond verse 1, and so I decided to stop. But the verses that follow are going to give some applications of verse 1, and so we'll take time in the weeks to come to explore the application of this brotherly love. Listen as I read Hebrews 13. I'll read verses 1 through 6. Remember, I'll be preaching on verse 1. This is God's word. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among you, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Last week I had the privilege of attending a meeting of a group that's called NAPARC, the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. That's a mouthful, I know. But it's a group that is formed together of many different Reformed and Presbyterian denominations with a view towards working towards the visible unity of the church, especially those that share a like faith. Coincidentally, the meeting happened in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Now, Philadelphia is named that not because of the character of its people. This is my first time to go to Philadelphia, but I know that their hockey team is not full of brotherly love. Well, it's named that because of the word Philadelphia. It's a word that comes from the Greek, and it literally means city of brotherly love. It takes the word for love and brothers and mashes it up together, and you get love of brothers or brotherly love. Well, you might know that in the Bible there are a variety of different types of love that are described, and that the Bible uses different words to describe those loves. So there's the love that a husband and wife share together, the romantic type of love. There's also the self-sacrificial decision to love that God has made in salvation. And that's another word that is used. Here in Hebrews, though, you'll find the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, and that's how it's translated into English. Let brotherly love continue. It's an exhortation that is the first of several very practical exhortations that close this letter. They're exhortations that grow out of everything that has gone before. You might remember, if you look back, that verses or chapters 1 through 12 have set out this really glorious picture of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Over and over again, we've marveled at that work of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. But then growing out of that, chapter 13 gives a series of short, very practical applications that grow out of that. You might think of it as a tree that does what God intended it to do, a tree that bears fruit. That's the language that Paul uses in Galatians, that there's fruit that is born in the Christian life, the fruit of the Spirit. And just like Paul in Galatians says, the very first fruit is love. Let brotherly love continue. By way of introduction, let me just remind you how central the theme of brotherly love is throughout the Scriptures. This is what Jesus said about it. They will know you're Christians by your love. The Apostle Paul, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Apostle John, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. They will know you are Christians by your love. The children of God are manifest by your love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So today we're going to think about how God has loved you, has adopted you into his family. Therefore, let brotherly love continue. Let's begin with that term, brotherly love. It's kind of it's a familiar term just within the Christian vocabulary. But if you pause and think about it, it might seem a little funny, especially to those who are younger right now. If I asked you, do you love your brother and your sister? You might have a different answer than thinking of brotherly love right now. You might think of, I know what my brother did to me this week. I know how my sister teases me. Do I love my brother or sister? I don't think so. But isn't that the point? You can't change the fact that you're family. And so you have to learn to live with one another. You have to choose to love one another. And I hope that the children of the congregation, if you're thinking about your relationship with your literal brothers and sisters, that you will grow to understand how those literal brothers and sisters are ones that you really do love in time. Now, maybe I'm just reflecting on my own family, and you don't have trouble with this at all in your families. Well, I do know better. We do get frustrated with siblings. We are wounded and sin against each other. We get angry. But once more, isn't that the point? The Bible takes that concept of family and draws it into the family of faith. And it does so in a very interesting way that helps you to understand just how profound it is that you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a profound truth that rises out of the fact that our relationship is stronger than that of blood. It's a relationship that is grounded on the fact that God loved sinners, that God loved you and me, and that he has adopted us into his family. And because of that adoption, we look on each other differently than we look at those that we aren't related to, physically or spiritually. We look at each other as brothers and sisters, part of the family of God. And God did this not because of anything in you, but purely because of his love. A love that is demonstrated by the sending of Jesus Christ while you were still an enemy of his. God loved you and rescued you from the death and the sin that you were tangled up in. Just think of that most well-known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an action that is motivated by God's love. As you think then about being a child of God, you can draw in other passages where it calls us heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. we understand then that since God has loved us, that we are enabled in turn to reciprocate that love to God. That's part of the action of what the Lord is doing. He converts our souls from being enemies of His and haters of His and transforms us so that we are enabled to recognize who we are, to cry out for forgiveness, and to love God in return. And not only that, but He enables us to then turn in love towards the rest of that family of faith. Based on the love that you have received from God, He calls you and He enables you to love one another. We practice brotherly love. Let me just say that understanding the source of this love, understanding its nature, is vitally important. Because without God's love for you as a foundation, brotherly love is not going to survive. It cannot stand up under the pressures. Just look around you. Look around you and you will see a diversity of people, a variety of backgrounds in ethnicity, a variety of backgrounds in education, a diversity in interests like hobbies or tastes in music or favorite football teams. There's a diversity that is reflected in our little group that is incredible. That type of diversity without the love of God to hold it together, that type of diversity tends to just fly apart. It can't help but do so. And you might think, well, we have these things in common. We like each other. But that is not strong enough to hold together a people of God. It must grow out of the fact that God has loved you and given His Son for you, that you then reciprocate to Him and pour out to those around you. It is truly brotherly love. What does it mean then in verse 1 to let it continue? What does it mean to let brotherly love continue? Much like a family, love takes work. Love takes work. If you go to the movies, your concept of love might say otherwise. You fall into love, and it is natural. Ask a certain engaged couple in the congregation if love comes easily, and they'll say yes. They're glowing with that, the romance and anticipation of their wedding. But you need to know that love takes work. Earlier I mentioned the different words that the Bible uses for different types of love. And I even called attention to the fact that there is a special word that the Bible uses to describe the decision that God makes to love. And you might wonder, well, why didn't Hebrews use that word here? And before you rush into too much speculation there, let me just say that there's a lot that is shared between the two. Here it is the brotherly love, the Philadelphia type of love. And in this context, I think you'll see that it has in mind similar characteristics of that decisional love that God has. It is self-sacrificing. It implies a decision to live together in peace and harmony. It implies selflessness and self-sacrifice. In something of a parallel passage, Paul says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. There's Philadelphia again. In honor, giving preference to one another. So this isn't just the bros getting together and hanging out. So this is the type of love that God has shown to us. Selfless, self-sacrificing, giving preference to one another. The point is that love is not passive. It is active. It does take work. If it were natural and easy, you wouldn't have to have this exhortation given to you. But brotherly love isn't natural. It isn't easy. What is easy? The love of self, right? Be honest. Much of our time is spent thinking about ourselves, what other people think about us, how I'm coming across, will I get that advancement, what does my husband think of me? All of these things are revolving around a self-love. By contrast to that very natural self-love, Jesus has given us two simple commands. Well, let me back up. Simple is not maybe the right word for it. Straightforward commands. What is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You've heard of the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. There's a brotherly love that is a straightforward expression of your faith in God, of your acknowledgement that you have been loved, and that with the caliber of love that you have been loved, that you want to express that to your brothers and sisters. And there's a simplicity there, isn't it? To love as you have been loved. There's a simplicity, but the doing of that takes the grace of God, doesn't it? What does this look like? Well, the best example is the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, out of love, laid down his life for us. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter calls you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. When we meditated on that, I pointed out how that has deep significance for our salvation. He is the author and finisher of your faith. But that idea of fixing your eyes on Jesus also has implications for your daily living out of the Christian life. You will find that the more that you fix your eyes on Jesus, the more that you love him, the greater love that you have for him then is expressed as you love one another, as you love all of God's people. And remember, I'm not talking about affection here. I'm not talking about friendship. I'm talking about the exhortation to let brotherly love continue, to work at that, to pursue it. I'm talking about the active decision to love one another, to see your relationships in this church as an expression of the love that you have received from God himself. That means to give preference to one another, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving one another, to lay down our lives for the brethren. Those are just a few quotes from the New Testament that are an expression of our love for God that is expressed between each other. Out of faith, then, do the hard work of loving each other as brothers and sisters. Well, an exhortation to love implies there's a tendency not to love. So I want to to move next to ask and answer the question, what hinders brotherly love? To answer that question, I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 13. It is an expression of the outworking of love and relationship. But then I'm going to turn it around and use that as illustration of what hinders brotherly love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now take each one of those and let's turn it on its head. Love suffers long. The person who does not love does not suffer long, but instead is impatient with other believers. Maybe those others are young in the faith and their growth in Christianity is tedious to you and you grow impatient about that. You chafe at their immaturity. Maybe there's a clash in personality types that causes you to become impatient with them. Love, though, suffers long. Love is kind. Well, flip that on its head. Instead of kind, you have someone who is mean and spiteful, using words and attitudes that tear down instead of building up. One who is not loving practices envy, craving the possessions of others that you do not have, craving the attention, the accomplishments, the awards that others receive and you do not. The one who is not loving parades himself and is puffed up. This refers to sinful pride. It's good to excel, but sinful pride makes the point of making sure everyone knows about that accomplishment and may even take it and rub it in the face of that person that you're having conflict with. One who is not loving behaves rudely and seeks its own. Selfishness is another word for that. It only thinks about me. It constantly keeps score with others. One who is not loving is provoked. Sinful anger rises quickly and gives vent to outbursts or sullenness. One who's not loving thinks evil. It jumps to conclusions why someone did that thing and is sure that they did it for an evil reason. One who's not loving rejoices in iniquity and not in the truth. How perverse we are to take pleasure when a brother or sister falls in sin. The one who's not loving bears nothing, believes nothing, hopes nothing, endures nothing. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. This should not be in the family of faith. We all sin. And God has loved us. In Christ, He has poured out the life and the blood of Jesus Christ for us. And as the Apostle John says, brethren, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. We are to choose to live with one another and to choose to love one another with the same love that Christ has for us. But all too often, we fall into petty arguments and petty disagreements that tend to cause this wonderful thing that God has given us, the unity of brothers and sisters, it tends to fly apart. And that's aided by these sins that are a hindrance to brotherly love. This should not be. May God forgive us. And God does. And I'm glad to draw your attention in the close here to be reminded that God is good. He has poured out an extravagant love upon us, a love that we have not merited or deserved in any shape or form. In that strength of the love of God, then, let us pursue brotherly love. Let us take to heart this admonition. Let brotherly love continue. Remember, it takes work. It's not passive. It takes active cutting off of those sins that are common amongst sinners redeemed by Jesus Christ. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to hear. Be quick to go to those you have offended to seek their forgiveness. Be quick to pray for one another. Be quick to understand their own failings and their own need and clinging to Jesus Christ. Let brotherly love continue. In the context, then, of fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, I pray that you would nurture this type of love that God has given to us. Let brotherly love continue. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, you give us this very appropriate exhortation today to let brotherly love continue. O God, we do confess our sins to you. We admit, O Lord, that our selfishness often rises up to betray us, to show our own interest in our own selves rather than in the selfless love that you have demonstrated to us in Jesus. God, we pray that you would forgive our sins. We would learn what it means to suffer long and to be kind. That you would teach us to put off envy. That you would forgive us when we parade ourselves and to puff ourselves up. Oh God, teach us to guard against our rudeness and seeking our own. Forgive us for sinful anger that is easily provoked. Oh God, I pray that you would guard our hearts and minds from judging motives and thinking evil of others. Oh God, forgive us for taking any pleasure when brothers or sisters fall in sin. Instead, oh Lord, teach us to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. And oh Lord, may this be the case, growing out of that life that is redeemed and made alive by Jesus Christ. May we bear the fruits of brotherly love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Earlier we sang the first part of Psalm 116. We're going to sing the second part now. We've sung about how there is forgiveness of sins and how we love the Lord for that forgiveness. The second half of the psalm speaks about how we express that in worship. We gather together and we pay our vows, and there is a togetherness that is part of this passage. It is an expression of brotherly love together. Let's stand and sing Psalm 116b.